WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the academic publishing world, blockbusters are about as rare as flying dogs. But last year, when Camille Paglia's book Sexual Personae came out, it was instantly hailed as a blockbuster. It was also hailed as outrageous, sensational, and vile. Vintage Press has just brought out the paperback edition of Sexual Personae. This is also a rare event, since most academic paperbacks are published by academic, not commercial, presses. Critic and feminist Maureen Corrigan has decided she can't ignore Paglia any longer. Here's her review.
When Camille Paglia's book Sexual Personae came out last year, it was discussed everywhere, from English department sherry hours to Rolling Stone magazine. Paglia herself made sensational copy. She played the part of an academic guerrilla warrior and often conducted interviews over lunch where she'd devour chunks of bloody red meat. In between swallows, she'd wave her steak knife in the air and denounce feminists, praise Emily Dickinson as the female Marquis de Sade, and insist that victims of date rape get what they deserve. A little of Paglia went a long way with me, so when people asked what I thought of Sexual Personae, I dismissed it, a priori, as 700 pages of undiluted feminist backlash. Well, it's more than that, as I found out when I finally read it last week. Sexual Personae is a brilliant book, and that's why it's more reprehensible than ridiculous. Paglia's thesis is that all art, from the dawn of time to the present, embodies a brutal struggle between male and female, civilization and nature, form and chaos. Now, in the hands of your standard scholar, this argument would launch the usual footnote-encrusted trudge past the milestones of Western civilization. But Paglia is a gifted synthesizer. By plugging Michelangelo, Goethe, and Emily Bronte into her theoretical grid, she comes up with stunning insights. Paglia also has a genuine respect for popular culture. She makes wacko but electric connections between the sexual personae of Shakespeare's Cleopatra and Tina Turner, the Delphic Oracle and Gracie Allen. Paglia reminds me of those cranky 19th century culture critics like Thomas Carlyle and John Ruskin. She shares their wide-angle scope and erudition. But Paglia also shares their Victorian misogyny, too. She really believes that women are subordinate because they don't have the intelligence, imagination, or spirituality that men do. Instead, women have the curse, that monthly reminder of their enslavement to nature. Here's Paglia on the oozy metaphysics of PMS. Woman's body is a sea, acted upon by the month's lunar wave motion. Sluggish and dormant, her fatty tissues are gorged with water. Edema is our mammalian relapse into the vegetable. Every month for women is a new defeat of the will. Of course, a few special women, like Camille Paglia, transcend their biological destinies. But the rest of us are doomed to be bloated earth mothers. Paglia says that even without restrictions, there still would have been no female Pascal, Milton, or Kant. Genius is not checked by social obstacles. If you believe that, then you also believe that social change can't improve women's status. We all might as well just kick back and go with the primordial flow. Despite its historical sweep, Sexual Personae promotes an oddly static view of history. I think Sexual Personae has become a publishing phenomenon for a lot of good reasons. It's witty and full of what Yeats called passionate intensity. But I think Sexual Personae is also a hit because of the destructive things Camille Paglia says about her own sex. Maybe Paglia is right. Maybe men are smarter. I can't imagine any of them doing this to their own kind.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Camille Paglia's book, Sexual Personae.